TNT Radio wants you to get on our soapbox because your opinion matters. Tell us what you really think at tntradio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Informative and engaging. Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Red, let's go. Tuesday, 15th of November, 2022. No messing around with me. No blurbs. Just straight down to business, as it must ever be here. We've got 2 hours to cause maximum damage to the globalist regime by simply speaking the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help us God. We don't need pitchforks. We don't need bombs. We need to rise up in mass non-compliance, tell them where to go in no uncertain terms, and it's all going to be good. The problem is, not everybody buys into that theory and philosophy. Hence, we're in the mess that we are in right now. Welcome to Locked and Loaded. If it's your first time here, Oh, are you in for a treat? This is radio gold. At least that's what I think. You may think it's radio tin or radio silver, radio copper, maybe radio something else. But anyway, you're here and you're very welcome. For any returning listeners, you're also welcome today. And don't forget the live chat, tntradio.live. Use it. Don't abuse it, please, but use it. Tell us what you think. Tell us how you feel. Tell us a little story if you must. Do what you must, but use the chat function. Today, I have the great pleasure of being joined for the first time, at least I have, by a gentleman called Simon Milne, who is an entrepreneur in the construction business in the UK. And I'm going to be talking to him about life as a businessman and also as a citizen within the UK because, there are two different hats that he wears, and you could be getting on merrily as a citizen and being wrecked as a business person or vice versa. So Simon is joining me shortly. And also Darren of Plymouth will be joining me for my second hour. Darren has been a guest on Locked and Loaded since week one of my show back in January of this year. And now he is doing his own slot, digging deeper with Darren, and he's very kindly agreed to retain his time with me on a Tuesday. We enjoy talking together, I'm not going to lie, and hopefully you guys will enjoy it too. What's going on in the world right now? Newspaper headlines: UK property market at risk of major downturn as recession fears loom. It sounds, we're not repeating ourselves here. We are, but we're not. Let me just say that the MSM, the legacy media, is simply catching up with what we've been saying here for a very, very long time, that house prices must tumble, recession must come, and everybody must get squeezed. And now it's being made official, if you want, by our friends in the legacy media. Record wage rises are still being outpaced by soaring inflation. What does that mean? Well, it means that if I give you a 10% pay increase this year, that sounds incredible. If I told Jeff in the studio, Jeff, you're going to get a 10% pay increase this year, he might be jumping for joy. But here's the problem. If inflation's running at 20%, which it is, then Jeff's 10% increase is actually a 10% loss. He's not gaining anything. Okay, but people are jumping around going, oh, I'm getting a pay raise. You're not. If your pay is not going up in line with inflation, you're taking a pay cut. Even if they tell you you're getting 10%, you could in reality be losing 5 to 10% in real terms. This is called economics. This is what you thought was a boring subject at school and probably dropped it at the first opportunity. Thought, whoa, only nerds study economics. Only nerds. Yeah, nerds that are now running the banks that are shafting you. And nerds also studied computer studies. I remember back in school, back in the 80s. Woo! Computers, big things about the size of a table and a little small screen with a little blipping dot on it. And only the nerds studied computers. And you know what? I'm sorry to say, we used to beat them up. If I found out you were studying computer science, you would get a slap. But guess who's slapping who now? Yes, they're slapping us. They could switch us off at the touch of a button if they wanted to. Those nerds that we beat up at school, at least some of us did. I'm only joking, by the way. I wouldn't have done something as heinous as that. Leave that for the globalists, not the radio presenters. But anyway, the nerds are getting the last laugh. Brexit is a major cause of the UK's return to austerity, says a senior economist. No, it's government policy. It doesn't matter what the government is. It doesn't matter where they're located in the world. The blame for all this shenanigans rests at the government's feet. Every detrimental policy, every destructive policy is the fault of your own government. They will blame everyone, of course, but themselves. NHS leaders are more concerned about this winter than any previous one, but they say that every year. So last year, they were more concerned about last winter than every previous one. And let me make a prediction live on air, and you can timestamp this. Next Christmas, they'll also be predicting that that winter is worse than every previous one. It happens every single year. It's just regurgitated BS coming from the same people that are responsible for acting negatively towards people's health rather than positively. Wow. Where did all that come from? I don't know. I just felt I had to get that off my chest. And I'm sure there'll be plenty more popping off this chest of mine before the end of the show. But we are broadcasting live on all the major streaming platforms. And also, of course, you can listen in via our website, TNT Radio Live. So we encourage you to connect with us as we try and connect with you and the whole world, leaving nobody out here on TNT Radio.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I come to you for facts. I really appreciate what you and your team do.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has called Russia a rogue state. Hey, imagine Britain calling anyone a rogue state. Called Russia a rogue state and called on G20 leaders to prize open President Vladimir Putin's grip on the world economy. Why don't you do it yourself, Rishi? Why don't you do it, you little rat? Because you can't. You're a weak little rat. That's why. Sunak arrived in Bali, Indonesia on November the 14th for the gathering of the leaders of the world's biggest economies. And do you know who I spotted there? I spotted that German piece of work, Klaus Schwab. He was there. Why was he there? He's not a G20 leader. He wormed his way in because he's controlling them all. That's why he's the puppet master. So anyway, Putin, who has faced condemnation from Western leaders over the Russian invasion of Ukraine, is expected to skip the event. And well, he has skipped the event and sent his foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, instead. What a name. I think I'm going to rebrand myself. Locked and loaded with Sergei Munn. Sounds pretty damn good. What do you think about that, Sonia Bailey?
You're cracking me up today. I must admit, you really bring in the laughs. I think I read this information and I just thought, is he for real? Like, where does he get off? Realistically, where does he get off making out like Russia is somehow the grim reaper of the world economy, you know, with its bony hands wrapped around our funding and yet here Sunak is a WEF baby. He's a graduate of the World Economic Forum, and it's laughable how obvious these pawns are being played, and yet he's willing to stand there as the leader of the UK and declare how terrible Russia is and how other countries need to be getting on board, and it just is an absolute joke.
It is. It is. The hypocrisy. Said, you know, the hypocrisy. I mean, like for Joe Biden, for example, to call any regime in the world corrupt and immoral is ludicrous given his background. Rishi Sunak in the UK, Macron, Trudeau, any of them, to brand anybody else anything that they are not already, which is rogues, is shocking. And here we have Rishi trying to enlist this little gang of G20 buddies to gang up on Vladimir because they're not big enough and tough enough to take him on themselves. I think that's really the point here, isn't it?
And I think it instantly begs the question, by whose standards are they considered a rogue state? You know, by their standards, you or I might be considered rogues because we refuse to follow the narrative. We refuse to, you know, to buy up the garbage that they're trying to sell. So I think that there's a lot to be said for the way that Sunak is actually addressing this, and it is crystal clear whose puppet he really is. He said, we will not let our economic future be held hostage by the actions of a rogue state, and nor will our allies. That then begs the question, who exactly are the allies he's referring to?
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen the footage of that G20 conference. I mean, they're all walking around in what looks like Star Trek uniforms. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but they're all wearing these weird tops, these color-coded tops, I kid you not, and they're shuffling around together, and it just looks bizarre. And of course, the plebs that are there attending to them are masked up while our illustrious leaders are walking around freely, inhaling oxygen and exhaling carbon dioxide. But it's just another event in the globalist calendar where they get to flex, I suppose you would say. They're flexing their muscles. They're telling us not to eat meat, and there's nothing but cows and venison and veal on the menu, and they're telling us we shouldn't be traveling and reducing our carbon footprint while they jet over there and back. I think it's just a big troll job, Sonia, to be honest with you. It's a trolling,
job. Yeah, most definitely. It's one rule for them, one rule for the rest of us. And I think what really irked me is Sunak then went on to blame the war in Russia on being the fuel that challenges countries across the world, and that every household on the planet is feeling the fallout of the conflict. Now, for me, that really got under my skin, being that we can, you know, we have 57 different reasons that have occurred over the last couple of years with COVID lockdowns and business closures. You're telling me that doesn't have an effect on the financial status, that doesn't have an effect on the economy within each nation and have a knock-on effect to the global economy. Earlier this year, we had China refusing to export goods to certain countries. They basically shut down half of their shipping ports. That's not going to have an effect on economies in other worlds that buy parts, that buy equipment, that buy products from China. Come on. You know, it's certainly not the war between Russia and Ukraine that is the sole contributor to this economic crisis that seems to be occurring in every single nation. Just in Australia this year, we've had toilet paper shortages because people were panic buying. We've had fuel shortages that were blamed on supply chain interruptions due to worldwide lockdowns. We've had urea shortages, which were blamed on China refusing to sell it to us and the skyrocketing price of renewable energy. We've had egg shortages, which were blamed on storms and flooding that was causing poor food quality, and therefore the chickens weren't laying as much. And then, you know, we've also, you guys in the UK have just recently had this big bird flu outbreak, and don't buy turkeys for chicken for Christmas, and don't buy a roast chicken. And they want to create food shortages and energy shortages and an economic crisis. They'll blame it on whatever is the hot ticket. And at the moment, the war between Ukraine and Russia is the hot ticket.
It is the hot ticket, you know, and I'm looking at the chat. Some people are listening in and commenting on your commentary, actually, very positively. Zippy said, spot on, Sonia. It's like you can almost see the marionette strings, reminiscent of a 1960s Gerry Anderson production, which is true. And also MES writes that unelected Rishi calls him unelected Rishi, which is true, because, by the way, Rishi Sunak was not elected in his position. Neither was Liz Truss, by the way, and Klaus Schwab, who is there amongst world elected, so-called elected representatives, obviously isn't even a politician. And of course, Bill Gates has put in an appearance there as well. This is the man with no medical qualifications, but is yet advising the World Health Organization, or should I say, funding them in return for being able to advise them on how we should all act in the event of a global pandemic. What's allowed, what's not allowed, where we should go. And just one last thing, this bird flu thing, I don't know if you know this or not, but the vaccine actually put the chickens in lockdown. They're not allowed outside. So free-range chickens are now locked up in the UK. This is not a joke. I am being deadly serious. There are poultry farmers who are keeping their free-range chickens, which are, should be allowed to roam freely in the fresh air. They're keeping them inside lest they get the avian bird flu, the deadly bird flu. Let me tell you this, and I'm going on record here. If you give me a chicken that was infected with bird flu, I would still eat that damn thing, because if you stick it in the oven and you roast the hell out of it or you deep fry it, trust me, it's going to kill everything like salmonella. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong about this. I don't know, but I'm a greedy little git. I'll eat anything that's set in front of me. So whether or not there's bird flu or not, I don't give a damn. I'm having my turkey, Sonia, and that's all there is to it. Bird flu or no bird flu. I don't know why. I'm really hungry this morning, so food's rolling around in my head. So I'm sorry for deviating slightly off topic, but it's all good. It's all good.
Well, it's on topic. And look, I don't know anybody that intentionally ingests the lungs or, you know, the respiratory tract of any bird that they have killed for consumption. So I think this is just a further push to the plant-based meats and these manufactured lab-created foods, as well as the panic. They want to create panic so that you look to daddy government for the answer.
They do. They do. That's a very good point as well. Who the hell eats the lungs of a chicken? I know maybe if you go into KFC, you might get the odd lung in there, you know, by mistake because they're a little bit sloppy in their service. But on the whole, who's going to be doing that business? The answer is nobody. But Sonia, I wish I could talk a little bit longer with you this morning, but we're up to time in this segment. So thank you, and hopefully I'll get talking to you tomorrow. That's Sonia Bailey. Hopefully Simon Milne is waiting to hop on the line from the UK. This is TNT Radio, Locked and Loaded. Don't go away.
Patrick Henningsen on TNT Radio.
You know, the specter of Russian meddling, you believe it or not, they pulled that card already. We've even got the White House press secretary herself basically giving a whole spiel on this. And it's kind of hilarious if you think about it. So she's saying that the Russians, this Russian Putin ally, is fabricating these claims, but yet they're taking it seriously and using it as a springboard to put this talking point out from the White House itself that Russia just admitted to meddling in the election. So the evidence is that that this supposed Putin insider has admitted to meddling, and therefore that's evidence of meddling. Notice the language by CNN. Yevgeny, a Kremlin-linked oligarch, linked now. So it's once removed from the Kremlin. Yevgeny, a Kremlin-linked oligarch known as Vladimir Putin's chef, appeared to admit, the wording is very particular here at CNN, appeared to admit Russian interference in U.S. elections in a Telegram post on Monday. I mean, you can't believe this.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds, and they do it by the types of posts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis, by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
Billionaire globalist corporations will own everything.
Homes, factories, farms, cars, furniture, and everyday citizens will rent what they need, if their social credit score allows. Lighting the fuse for freedom, TNT Radio.
Okay, I am very happy to be joined. Well, I'm being joined for the first time by my next guest, Simon Milne. However, he is no stranger to TNT Radio. I understand he is a friend of Darren of Plymouth, Darren Denslow, and he was on as a guest when I was off swanning around the countryside doing nothing in my week off. But now I've returned. I'm going to be talking to this gentleman right now. He looks like a nice guy. He's smiling at me. It's the first time I've talked to him. Sometimes it's Russian roulette with my guests. You can get a right old nightmare on here from time to time. Actually, that's not true. They've all been fantastic all year round. Simon, hopefully you're not going to buck the trend this morning. How are you?
Good morning, Rick. I'm good. Thank you very much. Yeah, good. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
You're very welcome. I'll tell you why I want to talk to you today. Two reasons, really. I want to talk to you as a UK resident, and also want to talk to you as a businessman. Okay, so you've got kind of got two hats going on here. You're in the construction business. You're an entrepreneur for Milne Enterprises. And also, of course, you're just a normal everyday guy out there trying to live his life. Things are a bit strange at the moment in the UK, and I'm going to lump Ireland in with this as well, because Ireland are going through the same problems as the UK are going through. England, Scotland, Wales, etc. We're all in the same boat, as it were, and it's not a dinghy winging its way across the channel. I think the boat that we're on is more akin to the old Titanic, which just so happened to have been built about 8 miles from where I live in Belfast. What do you think? Are we on the Titanic or are we on a dinghy?
That's an interesting analogy, Rick. It does feel like that, doesn't it? Being on the Titanic, which of course was built in Harlan and Wolff. So you're in Belfast just now, I think.
Just outside of it. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it feels strange. I mean, it's felt strange for the last 30 months, I guess. And it's really. Yeah, it's a big question. Where are we going? Where are we going at the moment? I mean, the Titanic sadly sank in the Atlantic. I hope we don't sink. It's a worrying time, isn't it? Everything is crazy at the moment. It's a mad, mad world.
It is. And, you know, actually expanding a little bit on the Titanic analogy. Listen, by the way, these things just come into my head and I tend to just speak what happens to pop into my head at any given time. Expanding on the Titanic business, don't forget, there were lifeboats on the Titanic and sadly there was a massive loss of life, but some people did make it out alive. I feel there will be people that make it through what we're going through at the minute, but there's going to be a lot of financial, economic, social, and physical casualties as a result of our so-called government's policy. Now, the business that you're in, construction, for example, unless I'm mistaken, you would think that in a country with a housing shortage and in a country where there are tens of thousands of people piling through our borders, literally on an annual basis, sometimes 1,000 people a day with nowhere to go, you would think a man like yourself would be rubbing his hands together with glee, thinking, well, I'm a builder, I'm in construction, there's a shortage of houses, supply and demand would appear to put you in a good spot. But it's not that rosy for the construction industry at the minute. Is that a fair assessment, or what's your take on it?
Yeah, look, Rick, most of my work, you're quite right, I'm in the construction industry, in the building industry. Most of my work is actually export. I do a lot of work overseas. But I am based in the UK. You're quite right. I mean, the economy is shot. It's absolutely shot to pieces. Everyone talks about the cost of living crisis, but what we're really looking at is a cost of lockdown crisis. That term's been used quite frequently now, but it's absolutely true. You know, I mean, the government has mismanaged and spent money, and of course, governments don't have money. You know, this is a thing that a lot of people don't realize. You know, they talk about government spending, but what the government's really doing is spending your money. You know, so all the money that was spent during lockdown, and you know, it's not just money that they had in their coffers. I mean, you're talking about money that was printed. You know, billions of pounds that were printed. Which is basically, you know, it's taking money from us. It's not even, you know, it's not like where you tax money, you take money from in taxation from people who have that money. When you print money, it's actually money that we don't yet have. So what you're doing effectively is taxing future generations. So there's been a huge amount of money printed. There's been a huge amount of money wasted. There's if you look at the cost of furlough, if you look at the cost, the amount of money that was plowed into hospitals that were never used, you look at the amount of money that was poured into vaccines that have not proved to be effective and have also proved to be dangerous in many cases. The vast amount of money that's been sent to a war that I think is unwinnable as well. Then you wonder why the economy is in such a poor shape. It's total mismanagement.
It is. And all of those things that you listed there, the overseas funding, foreign aid, money for hospitals, the Nightingale hospitals that were never used. Don't forget Track and Trace, which allegedly cost $37 billion to send up the app, which cost $37 billion, which any decent software engineer, they said from Oxford University could have thrown together the same app for about $100,000. So where they got the $37 billion from, I don't know. But the cumulative amount that they have spaffed up the wall over the last several years is it's eye-watering, it's astronomical, and it has led to us being in this verge of economic collapse and also inflation going through the roof with no signs of letting up and interest rates increasing at the same time. So it all comes down to, as you say, their lockdown policies or their lockdown enforcements that effectively busted or is about to bust our economy. We've got to take a really quick pause just for a news break here, like 30 seconds. When we come back, I want to look at what they are doing versus what they should be doing, and the things that they should be doing could actually boost the economy, but it seems to be that's the last thing in their mind. So if you can hold tight, I'm talking with Simon Milne here, talking UK economics and construction here on TNT Radio. Please don't go away.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Turkey has rejected condolences from the United States following the weekend's deadly terrorist attack that killed 6 people in Istanbul. A new survey has found the majority of Russian businesses have adjusted to Western sanctions and continue to operate as usual. And Japan has offered to host Australia's nuclear submarines once they are built.
Don't miss a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
Okay, Simon, last week I was talking with a gentleman called, well, I was talking with two gentlemen. One was called Ian Davis, who's an investigative journalist, writes for the UK column. He was talking to me about an outfit called Serco. I'm sure you've heard of Serco. They're a big global organization, procurement type organization that the government is in partnership with to gain control of hotels to put migrants into, or people that are crossing the channel, whether it be illegally or legally, number one. Number two, I was talking with a gentleman called John Mappin, who runs Camelot Hotel. He was approached, not by Serco, let me add, by a different government organization directly. His receptionist at the hotel got a phone call, said, "I'm from the government. We want to book your hotel for a one-year rolling contract basis. Is that possible?" He thought it was a joke. He called back the government department. It was legitimate. They wanted to book the entire hotel for 1 year to house illegal immigrants in, and they wanted him to sack all his staff, bar 3 cleaners. They would put staff in, they would maintain the property, they would pay the electricity bills, they would pay the current room rates for a 12-month contract. And they said, if the place gets trashed, we'll pay for all the damages as well. Thank you very much. Now, he refused it, thankfully. He said, look, I can't have this place getting trashed. It's antiques in here. It's ancient. It's got heritage, etc. And plus, I'm not doing that because it'll shaft my staff, most of whom need the income. But the government seemed to be happy enough to do that. Serco were happy enough to do that. So rather than invest in British industry, the building industry, the construction industry, which involves the builder himself, architects, material suppliers like bricks, cement, sand, etc., plus delivery firms, delivery drivers, there's a massive massive, massive knock-on effect on the UK economy. If the construction industry gets knocked, but it seems to be, Sunak's squad in Westminster at the minute is hell-bent on squeezing the construction industry rather than giving them a break. How do you feel about that?
Rick, it's just crazy. I mean, there's no sense to it. You know, I heard the story about Camelot Hotel and the government's offer to put to take it over for a year. it's just these kind of things that are being announced almost on a daily basis, and it just doesn't make sense to us, does it? I mean, this is the problem of a lot of the rhetoric that's coming out of Westminster just now. It just doesn't add up. You know, I mean, for anyone who's got common sense, who has, you know, is a business person like myself, or look, anyone that just simply has their eyes and ears open, what's being said by the government just now just doesn't add up. And yeah, consequently, you're left wondering, is there another agenda? You know, and this is the most worrying thing, because you're talking about the migrants coming across, you know, and I think we're at record levels. It's on TV every night. Everyone's talking about the migrant crisis. But what's being done about it? You know, you've got a Home Secretary who appears to be trying desperately to do something about it. But it just seems to be blocked. Every effort to curtail this, it's blocked. And you know, why is it being blocked? What's really going on behind the scenes? You know, it just doesn't add up. I mean, you know, we're spending. Yeah, you know, we've just announced another huge amount of money going off the front to try and assist with these migrants before they actually leave the shores of France. I mean, you know, this is just. You know, is it good money after bad money? But I mean, you know, clearly it's either gross incompetence or there's another agenda. I actually suspect it's probably a combination of both of those things. I think there is another agenda. You know, there's too many things in the world that, you know, everyone loves to sort of, as soon as you start to question things, you know, you're branded as a conspiracy theorist. Mm-hmm. You know, and look, I like to be very analytical in what I, you know, in what I'm looking at. But the fact is that if you look around the world, there are very, very peculiar things going on that just don't add up. Now, you know, if you start to dig into these things, you know, you can't help but think that there's something untoward going on. You know, and this is where a lot of us are at. You know, it's what's actually behind all of this. Yeah, you know, I mean, this migrant crisis. You know, I'm quite convinced there's no simple fix. I mean, people who say, you know, all you've got to do is send the Navy out or something like that. Yeah, you know, it's not simple. I understand that. You know, we've got a huge problem in terms of the European Court of Human Rights.
Yes.
You know, the country voted for Brexit. Whether you know whether you're pro Brexit or against Brexit, the fact is that the country voted for it. And you know, frankly speaking, I wasn't initially pro Brexit. I was actually, I would say, a very marginal Remain. You know, but actually, as things have progressed over the last 30 months, I'm actually relieved that we're out of Europe. I mean, the lack of democracy, that's being displayed in Europe. Particularly in the from the EU in Brussels, you know, it makes me quite relieved that we have actually broken away from that. But the reality is that we haven't really broken away from it. You know, we're actually in a worse position because we've broken away, or we've announced our departure from Europe. But you know, some European institutions are still, you know, holding us to ransom. I don't think we can move on this thing with migrants because of it.
Yeah, you actually mentioned one case in particular. Excuse me. We mentioned the European Court of Human Rights when Priti Patel was still the Home Secretary, which feels like an eternity ago, but it was only like 4 months ago. We're just going through Home Secretaries at an alarming rate. In fact, this is Suella Braverman's second stint at Home Secretary in the last 2 months, because remember, she was appointed under Liz Truss. She resigned over some email scandal, and now she's been reappointed appointed again in Rishi Sunak's cabinet. She's being demonized, saying that she's a fascist when she was laying a wreath at the cenotaph. People were saying, calling her a fascist because she wants to stop people flooding into the country illegally. And this is the key word. It's illegal, okay? They're breaking the law. They should not be here. They are not coming through the right channels. They're not being vetted and granted asylum. They're just piling in. So she's not a fascist for wanting to stop an illegal practice. You know, what are you going to do? Go out into the street and start calling the police fascists because they're stopping people from robbing cars, for example, because that's illegal? Does that make them a fascist police force? Some people would say they're fascists anyway, but that's neither here nor there. But the European Court of Human Rights, they interfered with Priti Patel, blocking the deportation of illegals to Rwanda for processing in Rwanda. There was a flight booked up and they were going to put people on it, and then it was stopped at the last minute because the European Court of Human Rights got involved. So this Brexit is not a complete Brexit per se, because they still have their tentacles wrapped to some degree around the United Kingdom and obviously Ireland as well. So it's Brexit in name only in some instances. And Suella Braverman certainly is talking the talk, but thus far is not walking the walk, because, you know, they're still piling in at a rate of up to 1,000 a day when the weather's good. In fact, you know what? The most effective way to stop these crossings is actually, they talk about cloud seeding and changing the weather manipulation. It might be worth investing in a big cloud seeder over the English Channel, because when there's storms and wind, there's no dinghies. So maybe we're looking at the wrong way to solve this problem. We should be interfering with the weather, which is another big old conspiracy theory, you know.
Yeah. I mean, look, it smacks of incompetence, really, isn't it? I mean, you know, every time, as I said, every time a government minister tries to do something about this, they get blocked. But you've then got to step back and say, well, you know, are these guys actually competent in what they're doing? You know, I just don't think they are. I mean, if Westminster was run as a business, most of the members of Parliament would be out in their ear. I mean, there's no two ways about it. We've got people with massive egos and very little competence. You know, you've got what we really do need is actually. I mean, I was not at all happy about Rishi Sunak coming in. But there was quite a lot of people in the business community that sort of hailed that as a return to I think they said the grown-ups are back. I mean, I just think that is absolutely nonsense. The people you've got running the government just now, you know, are absolutely the wrong people. You know, it's you know, you really need people who have, you know, ability as well as, I mean, you know, all I see at the moment is people with a lot of self-interest. You know, the wrong people are in politics, and that is a fundamental problem with politics, because I think it just attracts the wrong kinds of people. There's an awful lot of people we talk about. You know, is that the best that we have to offer? Well, you look at America, and you look at, you know, whether it's Biden or Trump or whoever it might be, and you think, you know, out of a country like the United States of America, is that really the best that they can put forward? And the answer is no. You know, and it's exactly the same as the issue that we've got in this country as well. There are very, very competent people who just don't want to get into politics for obvious reasons. But we actually need a complete. I mean, we're talking about a reset. I think we do need a reset. We need a complete reset. We need a complete clear out of Westminster, and we need people who are competent. And also people who actually have the country's interests at heart, because there's far too many people in there who are just there for self-interest. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think one fine example of that is the chap who's, I don't even like to mention his name, but the chap who's on the jungle thing just now, Hancock.
Hancock.
You know, I mean, how on earth could that man actually be, you know, in the position that he's been in? I mean, it's just that's why the country is in such a dire situation. It's because we've got people like that at the controls.
Yeah, and when he left, don't forget, he was replaced by, I think it was Sajid Javid. It was just one banker after another, which is effectively, you know, most of the times the positions that the Home Secretary or the health secretaries were operating in were coming from banking backgrounds. And there's a lot of dubious connections with our politicians with, you know, their can be very China friendly, let's just say. You know, Liz Truss, to give her her dues, was warning us about China. Now Rishi's saying it's not such a big concern. And I do agree with what you say. There are a lot of good people out there that could do a better, much better job than our current leaders, and I use that term very, very loosely, are doing. In fact, to be honest with you, if you and I, all joking aside, if you and I decided to form a political party, managed to get our asses elected into Westminster, you could not do a worse job than our current government. You just couldn't do a worse job, and neither could I. And I'm not saying that because I'm a talented politician, far from it. You're not a politician at all, you're in the construction business. But in all honesty, Simon, and with all due respect to each other, we could do as good a job of running the country as they could. Would we make mistakes? Yes. Would we get some things wrong? Yes. But I'd like to think we have a little thing called integrity, which is sadly missing from every politician that is infesting the halls of Westminster at this time. And all across the world, there's no integrity. They're bought and paid for. They're just little puppets dancing at the end of a string, a globalist World Economic Forum string, in my humble opinion. And that's why we're in the mess we're in. Maybe, mate, this time next year, you never know. You could be a number 10 and I could be a number 11. Listen, stranger things have happened. We've got to take a quick ad break just for 2 minutes. And when we come back, I just want to look at some of the things that are appearing over the last 24 hours in relation to the British political scene. For example, Sunak hints at abandoning Truss's stance on the Chinese threat to Britain. And also, he's opening the door to more defence spending, or cutting down defence spending as a percentage of GDP. So we'll look at that in some more detail when we come back here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
Weather with reality and perspective.
2022 has been a warm year thus far. However, taking a look at what's going on right now, the Earth is dramatically cooling. Now, we're still a little bit above the 30-year normal, but I've been watching this go on. Today, for instance, was only 0.07 Celsius above normal. That's barely above normal at all. And just eyeballing on our weatherbell.com maps page, the last 45 days, and the last 45 days is average 0.31 Celsius above normal. And I'm looking at the European forecast for the next 45 days, and it looks a heck of a lot cooler than that. Now, this is very interesting because we had that major volcano go off in January of this year, and that in turn warmed the sea surface temperatures all across the Pacific, but it sent a lot of ash into the air, so there may be some cooling going on from that right now. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi, TNT's weather and climate watchdog, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative, this is Viewpoint.
In fiscal year 2019, 2,800 pounds of fentanyl was seized at the US-Mexico border. The following year, 4,800 pounds was seized, and in fiscal year 2021, seizures totaled 11,200 pounds. The figures indicate fentanyl seizures under Biden quadrupled since fiscal year 2019, when Trump was in office. Fentanyl is primarily flown from China to Mexico before the Mexican cartels traffic it across the southern border. Only a fraction of fentanyl trafficked across the border is seized by Department of Homeland Security. The Center for Disease Control, CDC, reported that more than 100,000 Americans died from drug overdoses in the past 12 months, and two-thirds of those deaths were linked to fentanyl.
Democracy is under attack. The Australian government wants to control free speech and the internet. Disagree with what government is saying and you'll be shut down and could face severe penalties.
To find out more, go to digi.org.au.
Lighting the fuse for freedom. This is TNT Radio.
Okay, I'm just coming to the end of our first hour, and I'm really glad to have been joined this morning by Simon Milne. We're just chewing the fat, really, about what's going on in the UK and Ireland at the moment, looking a little bit at the construction industry, some crazy decisions that are being made, the whole Brexit scenario, human rights interventions from Brussels, and so on and so forth. There's just so much going on at the minute. It's hard to keep track of things. Simon, just in the headlines over the last 24 hours from the G20, Rishi Sunak hints at abandoning Truss's stance on the Chinese threat to Britain. So she obviously viewed China as a threat to Britain, rightly so. Rishi Sunak looks like he will abandon that. The Prime Minister twice declined to endorse Ms. Truss's change, which had been due to adopted in the rewriting of the UK's foreign policy strategy called the Integrated Review. And also we have here, he promised to keep her defence spending pledge and instead focused on the UK hitting the NATO target as he flew to the G20 summit in Bali. So he's talking about reduced spending on defence. He's talking about China not being a threat. We have a lot of, how would you say, we're aware of China, we're aware of their influence in the world, but they're quiet at the minute. They're quiet, but their influence is very far-reaching. It reaches, I would say, right into the Oval Office. It reaches into number 10 and number 11, possibly now, with old Jeremy Hunt. His wife, I believe, is somehow linked in with, Red China in some way, shape, and form. Susan Michie is a member of the Communist Party. She was one of the nudge unit advisors for the government during the whole lockdown. I mean, why don't we all just put on those Cossack hats and ride horses around with little red stars on them? Is that what's going to be happening by next Christmas?
Yeah, I've actually spent quite a lot of time in China, and China is the threat. You know, I think that the distraction of the last few months, of Russia and Ukraine, is exactly that. It's distraction. The real threat to the UK, to the Western world, is not, I don't believe it's Russia. I think it's China. I think that it would be very, very naive to think that China has not got ambitions of world domination. I think it's clear to anyone who's looking at sort of the global scene at the moment, and indeed for the last couple of decades. China is slowly taking over the world. And, I tweeted about this quite recently. China is they have infiltrated so many parts of Western society. And they're smart. They're very smart. Not only are they smart, but they have a huge advantage over the West. And that is that they're also disciplined. You know, we have lost all sense of discipline, all sense of morality. Everything's falling apart in the West, and meanwhile, you've got an adversary in the East, in China, which is a very, very disciplined society. They're very clearly led. They've got a very clear plan, I believe, to dominate the world. You know, they have pretty much colonized or recolonized, should I say, most of Africa. I was actually brought up in Africa, so I've got first-hand experience.
Whereabouts?
I was brought up in Kenya, in East Africa.
Oh, I know Kenya very well. Whereabouts in Kenya were you brought up?
I was brought up country, a place outside Nairobi called on the way to Thika. I don't know if you know that, but I was at school in Kenya, so I know it very well. In fact, I was back there only a few months ago. So I've also lived in Zambia, I've lived in Cameroon and West Africa. I actually worked there for a while. So I've got a lot of experience in Africa. And it's terribly sad actually for the Africans themselves, because the early 20th century was all about Europe, taking over. Most of Africa actually was colonized between Britain, France, Germany, Portugal, and to some extent Belgium as well. But if you look at what's happened since the 1960s, when, you know, all these African countries got their so-called independence and then, you know, pretty much all fell into civil war. China has come in and has pretty much recolonized very quietly, you know, and no one is saying anything about it. You know, ultimately, why is nobody saying anything about it? It's because China's big and strong, you know, and nobody wants to stand up to China. No one wants to stand up to the big guy. They'll quite happily, you know, stand up to the little guy and kick him about. But if you're a big guy like China, you ultimately, you know, power trumps everything else, doesn't it? You know, and you're talking about defense expenditure, you know. I think, you know, one of the things I do believe in is you know, speak softly and carry a big stick. You know, I think that it's so important to have a strong military. You know, and I think that if you look at the situation that, you know, has unfolded in Ukraine, now, I'm not saying it's directly a consequence of this, but I do believe that the departure from Afghanistan, particularly driven by the Americans, pretty much gave Putin the green light to invade Ukraine. Now, I'm sure he had plans to do that anyway, but it certainly gave him the green light. And, you know, I think that to at this particular moment in time, to be looking at cutting back on defense is absolutely the wrong thing, in my opinion.
You're right.
Absolutely wrong.
You bring up a few good points there about China, and especially about, you know, the colonization of Africa. Now, I know Kenya pretty well. I've been there maybe 20 times over the last 15 years, did a lot of evangelism work over there on my own, just traveled from Mombasa right the way through, Voi, all the way up to Nairobi. I've been up in Turkana province. I've been down to Namanga, down into Tanzania, across Bungoma, into Uganda. I know the place very well. And the one thing that absolutely I can't say is all the roads that have been constructed there in the last 15 odd years were all done with Chinese construction. The amount of vehicles that were on the roads, I noted this like 10, 15 years ago. I was shocked at the amount of Chinese contractors that were operating in Kenya at that time, and it's only accelerated since. And if you know the road between when you head out of Nairobi, you head north up toward, up through Naivasha, you come to a place called Nakuru, and from Nakuru you drive towards Eldoret, and then you're heading towards Webuye and Bungoma. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. The road was absolute hell for a very long time. It was about 200 miles of potholes. It was hell to drive that road. It's now this beautiful highway. And I think what the Chinese are doing there is obviously they're investing heavily in the infrastructure in Africa, because all those roads are leading down towards, obviously Uganda's been found out to be a massive gold province right now. They found Tullow Oil, which is an Irish oil exploration company, have a big oil well in Turkana province in the north west of Kenya. And then the DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, is possibly one of the greatest mineral reserves on planet Earth for the like of cobalt and lithium, etc., which of course is essential in the use of electric vehicles and electric technology. So the Chinese, again, they've been very active, they've been very proactive, but they've also been doing it on the quiet. They've been doing it when not a lot of people know what they're doing. So yes, it raised a smile on my face when you mentioned China and Kenya, because I've seen that with my own two eyes. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. They've also built, as you know, they've built a new railway system, which actually cuts right through the game reserve as well, which is another issue. But China is just doing this in a very stealth like way, aren't they? I mean, they're doing it almost without firing a shot, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I look at what happened in Africa, and particularly in the 1980s, and you know, a lot of the corruption that was going on resulted in the World Bank, and particularly a lot of British foreign aid just being cut. You know, all that's happened is that the politicians who were responsible for that corruption have just simply turned to China and put their hand out to China, and China's been more than happy to fill that vacuum. And of course, it's all done, you know, with conditions. You know, I mean, you'll notice Mombasa Port now is pretty much dominated by the Chinese. I mean, they've gone into almost every country in Africa. I mean, they're fishing, you know, on the east coast of Africa. They're huge industrial trawlers are pretty much raping the sea there, and feeding China. And of course,
you know, most people don't know that. Most people don't know that.
The Chinese do a deal. Yeah, every time the Chinese do a deal with Africa, there's strings attached, you know, and there will be, you know, if you default on this, if you default on that, you know, we get this. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I mean, the African governments can turn around and say no. Well, you know, China can enforce that very effectively. Mm-hmm. They've got they've now got the military means to do that. Nobody's going to challenge them. I mean, it's not as if the African countries can turn around to America or Britain and say, help us. Yeah, you know, no,
Yeah, that's the thing to point out, and we're up to time here, Simon. It would be great to talk longer to you, but China's not a charity. There's always strings attached. The theme of the show today is strings attached. There's strings attached with China. Simon Milne, thank you very much for joining me today. We'll stay in contact.
Thank
Maybe I'll have you on
here.
Again Thanks sometime. Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you to Simon Milne. I'm Rick Munn, and we'll be back after the news with some more of the same here on Locked and Loaded. Please don't go away.